Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit brings a message entitled, The Diligent Person, from Proverbs 21.
I'd like to invite your attention this morning, please, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 21. When I began in the youth ministry after I finished here from Bob Jones University, my wife and I moved to a small town outside of Saginaw, Michigan, a little town called Bridgeport. And every morning I would go into my office to have my daily devotions, my quiet time with the Lord. And during early on in my ministry, I started working through a personal study in the book of Proverbs. And one of the studies that I made was very life-changing. Out of the 915 verses that are in Proverbs, there were 40 verses that were devoted to contrasting the difference between someone who is diligent and someone who is slothful. Or if I could say it very simply, somebody who works hard and somebody who is lazy. And the study was personally life-changing for me because I considered myself someone who was diligent until I began to study the Bible. And in so many ways, I began to realize how lazy I am by nature. One of the seven deadly sins that was established by the church years ago is the sin of slothfulness. And over the years, I have encouraged a number of certain individuals of the importance of doing this study for themselves. That is, I recognize that by nature, we are not diligent. And so today, I'd like us to do a brief study of a diligent person. We're not going to look at a lot of verses. Fact is, we're only going to look at one verse. I'll encourage you to look at the others in the book of Proverbs as we really discuss what a diligent person looks like. Because I have observed in life that people who make an impact are people who are disciplined, diligent people. Notice, if you will, Proverbs 21 and verse 5. It says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Let me read it in the ESV, and it gives you a little contrast, but very similar. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." This verse contrasts a proactive person who carefully plans their work and they work their plan in contrast to a reactive person. Someone who carelessly and hastily makes decisions without thinking them through. And the result is that the diligent person, their work leads to profit. And the hasty or the slothful person, their life leads to poverty. One leads to success and the other leads to failure. And the message of Proverbs is very, very clear. These are general principles of how to live our life. And that is this: people who succeed in life are diligent people. I can honestly say that our desire for you as an administration and as a faculty and as a staff is that every one of you becomes successful in life. If you were to ask me, what do I desire for you? It's that you go out in life and that your life is used to make a difference in the world wherever God puts you. That you will bloom where you are planted. But that will never happen if you're not a diligent person. So what are the characteristics of diligent people? And notice what the writer says in his opening phrase in verse 5. He says, success is attributed to the way that you think. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. What are the characteristics of a diligent person? How is it that they think? Well, I think that this means three things. Number one, a diligent person is someone who is perceptive. It's the way that they think, the way they reason things through. They are people who perceive. And they understand clearly certain things about life. First of all, they recognize life's brevity. They realize that life is short. You only have so much time. I'm sure that there are many of you who are seniors who can't believe that this is your last semester of college, and obviously you are very excited about that. But after being here for 4 years, it seems that time has flown by. And a diligent person understands that they cannot waste time. Time is a gift. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80. That's 80 years. So God says your life will be somewhere up to about 70, and the blessing of God may let you live to 80. And then he says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If I live to be 70 years old, that means that God gives me in a yearly schedule a total of 25,550 days to live. That's 70 years. Today, I am 60 years old plus 61 days. So today, I have lived in my life 21,961 days. And if God gives me the opportunity to live to 70, I only have 3,589 days left. That's all I've got. Therefore, I don't have time to waste. How many days do you have left? Well, you obviously have more than I do, but you're not guaranteed of that. And what are diligent people? They are not time wasters. But they are time investors. Is it not interesting that when Jesus was 12 years old, that he was driven by a perception of his time? You know the story where his mother and father were leaving Jerusalem in a caravan, and they thought Jesus was with them, and they found out during the day he wasn't there, so they went back to Jerusalem. They searched for him for a couple of days, and they found him in the temple, and there he was debating and asking questions and conversing with the scholars and the spiritual leaders. And Mary said to Jesus, "Where have you been? I've worried about you." And then he looks at his mother and says, "Mother, I must be about my father's business." I often think about that. He's 12 years old. He's a seventh grader. And yet he has a clear perception of time. Wise people recognize life's brevity. But not only that, but they recognize life's opportunity. A diligent person understands that he has to make the most of his opportunities right now. In the best sense, he is opportunistic. He realizes that he must seize the day. Carpe diem. You have opportunity to do things right now that you will not be able to do tomorrow. You know, I've learned that as I think back in my life. I had opportunities in my college years that would quickly pass me by. I got into my 20s and I had certain opportunities that would leave me by the time I got into my 30s. And there were things in my 30s that I had to do. And then my early 40s were life-changing years as I made decisions about what I was going to do in certain direction in my ministry. And then in my 50s, and now as I begin my 60s, I cannot live thinking that tomorrow will come with a better opportunity. The best opportunity you have is right now. Wisdom perceives your present opportunities and they make the most of them. Wisdom doesn't waste time in complaining or what you don't have, but you look at what you have right before you, right under your feet, and you make the most of what God has given you. Shakespeare said, "There's a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune." omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound to shallows and in miseries. If you don't make the most of your opportunity now, you may not get it tomorrow. You need to strike the iron while it's hot. And the wonderful thing about opportunities is opportunities breed more opportunities. When I came here through the university, I was in grad school. And when I came, I joined a local church here and got involved in the youth ministry, and I became one of the assistants to the youth pastor. And so I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Worked in teen visitation on Thursday night and youth activities on Saturday night. And I learned youth work by this youth pastor who was a tremendous help to me. And in my second year, a phone call came to the pastor of the church, and it was a pastor in Michigan. He said, I'm looking for somebody who is going to be able to be a youth pastor. And the pastor said, well, I've got a guy for you. And that pastor recommended me, and the pastor called me up, and we went through a conversation, and eventually I ended up in the church. And I learned something. I learned opportunities breed opportunities. So if you are looking for a better opportunity, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to make the most of the opportunities that you have right now. Diligent people learn to take the most opportunities out of what they have. But not only do they learn what to do, but they learn when to do it, because timing is of the essence. Do you remember when Mordecai found out that Haman plotted to exterminate the Jewish people? And he went to his niece, Queen Esther, and you remember what he said to her? He said, who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? The longer I'm in the ministry, the more I realize it's not just about what I'm doing, but it's the timing of when I do it. Diligent people are sensitive to timing. Fact is, we know this is true even in the opportunity of salvation. What does Paul say? Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. It's almost like Paul is saying, if you don't get saved now, you have no guarantee tomorrow. You do not know that God's Spirit may withdraw His conviction from you and your heart will become hardened and you think you'll have the opportunity tomorrow. And if you don't take it today, it may not come tomorrow. I remember when I was a student in college, etched in stone in the front of our campus chapel were the words of Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I remember reading that every day before I became a Christian, recognizing that maybe the day will come when I'm older and I'll turn away from God, and I knew now is the favorable time. Diligent people recognize life's opportunity. Are you doing that, or are you hoping for something better than what you're doing now? And then let me also say that diligent people recognize life's accountability. I have to keep in mind that what I do with my time and what I do with my talents and what I do with my treasures ultimately matters, because they will all be judged by God. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Do you realize that? Do you realize that what you are doing today here at Bob Jones University matters? Because one day, you have to give an accounting to God for your life. I told all of my children growing up, I said, you're going to have to come to a point in your life where you live with no excuses. You can't sit here and say, I didn't have the opportunity, or I didn't have parents that loved me, and I didn't have the opportunity to get a good education. I've got all the opportunities. And I told my children, you all have to recognize that you've got to give account to God yourself. And wise people are perceptive about life's accountability. So what does it mean to be a diligent person? Number one, you understand things. You have perception. But then notice, secondly, that not only does he perceive, but he plans. For it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. The word thought is a plan that is driven by a purpose. It's the idea of thinking and planning and creating something with a design. So what do we find out about a very diligent person? Number one, a diligent person sets goals. Diligent people don't wait for life to come to them, but they tell themselves what to do by setting goals, and they go after life. Are you waiting life to come to you, or are you going to go out towards life? There's a difference between a proactive person and a reactive person. What's a proactive person? They're someone who creates or they control a situation by causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it happens. What does a proactive person do? They think ahead on the basis of principles, and they make plans and they move forward. Achievement is fueled by goals. Could I ask you a question? Do you have a set of intended goals or purposes for your life? Seriously, have you sat down with pen and paper and have you thought through carefully, what are my goals in life? It's time for you to do that. At the age of 19 years old, Jonathan Edwards wrote 70 resolutions for his life, and he read them every week until he died at the age of 53 years old. His life was intentional. When I was in college, I wrote out 5 life's goals based on biblical principle. Here's what I'd like to do with my life. Do you have a set of intended goals? Do you know where you want to go? And then do you chart a course in going that direction? Dennis Waitley wrote, failures do what is tension relieving, while winners do what is goal achieving. You need to set goals for your life. You need to set goals for your year. What do you want to accomplish this year? What are your goals in your grades? What are your goals in your activity, in your social life? Then write those things out. Set goals for your life. Set goals for your year based on your life goals. Then set goals for your day. Schedule your day out to accomplish the goals that you seek to do in your life. So number one, he sets goals. And then number two, he organizes his time. Redeem the time. Use your time. He understands the value of a schedule. He builds his time out through establishing an hourly schedule. Do you know how many hours there are in a week? You better know that. There are 168 hours in a week. Could I encourage you to do something if you haven't done it yet? Do the project of charting out every day and every hour in your week. Take a sheet of paper. On the left side, put each day, Monday through Sunday. On the top, put in every single hour, 24 hours. And then fill in the hours with your responsibility, your class schedule. Fill in the hours, allowing for everything you want to do, exercise, church, devotions, free time, spending time with friends, eating. And when you do that, you will be surprised how much time you have available, free time, to accomplish your goals. Time is too precious to not think through what you're going to do with it. Redeem your time. If I put $1,000 in your hand, do you think you might figure out what to do with it? Is not time more precious than money? Diligent people are time managers. I think one of the greatest challenges of college life is learning how to get everything done in 24 hours. How many of you have ever felt like, I don't have enough time? Well, welcome to the real world. For some of you, this is your greatest challenge because this is the first time in your life you've ever really had to manage your time. And the reason why it's hard is because by nature we're lazy. And maybe not intentionally, but we don't understand what it takes to get things done. When I became the president here, one of the first questions regarding student life had to do with lights out in the dorms. Can you imagine that? And guess what the desire was? Everybody wanted to go to bed earlier. No, it was the opposite. Everybody wanted to stay up later. And I'm going to tell you why I have a struggle with that. It's because it's not that some of you don't need more time to study, because the fact is some of you do. But I also understand that at your age, time management is also an issue. Because if you have a 2-hour project and you've got 4 hours to get it done, how long does it normally take you to get it done? 4 hours. It's a time management problem. Needing more time may depend on the level of your diligence, because the bigger issue may not be more time. It may be better time management. Folks, everybody's busy. Do you think you're busier than some of us? In reality, some of the problem is your lack of time management. So you need to right now set goals and then manage and discipline and organize your time. And then one other thing about planning your work, and that is start working with enthusiasm. You know what? You ought to be excited about working. People ask me, what do you like to do? And my answer is, I like to work. Working's fun. Why? Because we get to accomplish things. We get to see things move forward. Yes, I have free time just like you, and for me personally, it's important that I take free time. I don't do a whole lot outside of work. There's about 4 things I like outside of just my family and my wife and children. I love music, so I like playing the mandolin. I love sports, especially watching soccer, so I love watching soccer. I like to exercise, and I love open-ended time to study God's Word. Outside of that, there's not much else I like to do other than work. You know why? Because work is so fulfilling. Because you get to do things, and you get to accomplish things, and you get to achieve things. Energy is found in a vision, in a goal. We view the hours of our day as a gift, and we seek to accomplish as much as we can. A diligent person is somebody who works with enthusiasm. And so as we look at the characteristics of the diligent person, what do? They perceive, they plan. One final thing. And that is diligent people persevere. They stick things out. Diligent people are convinced that if they sow right seeds, a harvest is going to come. They don't get discouraged when they don't see immediate results. They believe that though they don't see it now, they will see it in the future. Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sat down at God's right hand. Why? Because he saw the joy that was set before him. Diligent people are people of faith. They believe something's going to happen, even if they don't see it right now. Fact is, your best believer is generally a leader. A leader believes something before he sees it. That's what a vision is. A vision is seeing something before it becomes a reality. A believer, a leader is somebody who believes before he sees it. A follower is somebody who believes when he sees it. That's why people accomplish things in the world are people who have a vision. They have a goal. And they're determined to reach that goal and stick with it. And then let me say that they always strive to improve. People who persevere don't just work harder, they work smarter. Diligent people understand that you have to strive to improve. You have to strive for what we call excellence. One of the keys to excellence is paying attention to these little things called details. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble because you didn't pay attention to detail? You did not read the instructions thoroughly. Because details can either be your friend or they can be your foe. At first, details are these pesky little things that seem to irritate and bother you, and you don't want to have to deal with the details. But if you'll learn that the details are your friends, then they actually will assist you in your life. But if you don't get on top of details, and details are going to get on top of you, and you know what they do? They gain weight. It's like putting 600 pounds on your chest. You know what you call that? Pressure. People who are diligent pay attention to the little things, the little details. They're not hasty. And they get the details done right. They do things with excellence. That's what it means. My oldest son, Stephen, graduated from here at the university with a degree in cinematography. When he graduated, I sat down and I talked to him about his senior project, his film project. There really is a year-long project. And when he was finished, I said, "Son, the best thing about your project is not just the story and not just what you communicated, but it is a process that you had to go through to make it what it was. Because you learned the 80-20 principle. That is, about 80% of your work took about 20% of your time. And the last 20% of your work took 80% of your time. Because he got it filmed, he got it done, he got it all set up, but it took him a whole semester to deal with all the little stuff." Let me ask you a question. Does the little stuff bother you? And I said, "Son, the difference between something that was mediocre and something that was really, really good all has to do with the little stuff. And that last 20% that took a whole semester took your project to a level where it sparkled. It popped. It shined." And people in life who do things excellently are people who are paying attention to details and they're seeking to do it right. That's a diligent person. That's the kind of a person who succeeds in life. Would you be a diligent person? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience with us. And help us to recognize that life has been set before us. Help us to make the most of our opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University. Thank you for listening to The Daily Platform. Please come visit our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, and see how God is working in the lives of our students. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.